my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, y'all. I'm Tim Miller.
I'm Cameron Caskey, and this is FY Pod, the Bulwark's young, new show. This week, we are joined by the amazing Suzanne Lambert to talk about everything from being from Florida, getting infiltrated by MAGA spies, and maybe a little bit more, too. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm so good. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Spycraft. That was a good tease. I got to tell you, Suzanne, I know nothing about you. Except through your TikTok celebrity. I've spent 20 minutes on your TikTok feed. It's pretty engaging. I'm going to have a few notes for you at the end. But for the listeners who, like me, are just meeting you, like, give us a little kind of first date TLDR. What's your life been like? You
know? Yeah, sure. So let me emphatically say that I'm from Georgia. I'm not from Florida.
Go Dogs.
Georgia girl, go Dogs. Yep. I'm a grad of the University of Georgia. Might have heard of it. From Georgia, have been doing stand-up comedy since 2018, grew up super conservative. And when I moved to Florida, had a few different life, you know, circumstances and experiences that made me change my political views, like probably a lot of your listeners. And
so when you started your comedy, were you a conservative? Are there old tapes of like you doing, you know, kind of white grievance jokes or like, you know, kind of jokes where you use retard or like,
No, hate the R word. You will never, ever find me saying it.
We here at FY Pod detest the word as well, especially Tim.
Yeah, I really dislike it. But you do have some old conservative stand up that's out there somewhere. That's fine.
I love that you're already on the hunt. And the answer is no, I don't. Mm. So honestly, it was really comedy that was one of the reasons why I kind of changed my views, because like you're in an environment where you're hearing people talk about their life experiences over and over, and you're not in a position where you have to respond. You're not in a position where you feel threatened. Like you can kind of laugh. And you know, when you have three comics in a row talk about their experiences with like racism, you're like, huh, maybe that thing does exist that they told me didn't exist. And that was really like the catalyst.
Like reverse racism. Was your light bulb went off and you're like, I should do some jokes about the reverse racism that I feel.
I honestly, when I started doing comedy, I wouldn't even cuss on stage. I was like hell bent on being a clean comic, which is so funny because it's absolutely not the case now. But no, you won't find any problematic stand up. You could probably find some problematic old Facebook statuses if you dig hard enough, and please don't.
To be clear, Tim is not asking about your problematic old stand up in order to do a gotcha. He's asking because he wants to watch it to just, you know, scratch his former conservative itch.
Exactly. I don't know if I'm not that interested in non-cursing stand-up. Do you remember any like old PG jokes that you had? Do you have any material?
Oh yeah, there's one, it's a long setup about men and sports and how men are obsessed with sports and reciting sports statistics and all the things. Yeah.
We can just like name players from the 1990s.
I mean, it's insane. You're like. End. Like he's the statistics they say, they'll be like, he's the first quarterback to ever get a fifth touchdown in the last second of the third quarter. I'm like, how do you even like,
no, but that's something that the commentators on ESPN do. Like every fucking game you watch, they pull out the craziest stat. Like something will happen. They'll be like, this is Nikola Jokic second best 1 minute 30 seconds to 2 minutes in the third quarter in playoff history. Like they've got some AI that's just pulling everything that happens in a especially playoffs game. There's some record that is breaking.
Or just like a really passionate neurodivergent person behind the scenes kind of pulling random stats together. But the punchline of that joke is, I'm not mad at it though, because it's the only time men reflect on other men's actions. And men love that joke. Like men... loved that joke. So that's like an oldie, you know.
That's a good oldie. When, wait, yeah. There weren't any church jokes. There weren't any like, you know.
I have some church jokes. So this is tea. My stepdad was the priest at my church before he married my mom. They've been married for like 25 years. So I have a joke about how he went from, because, you know, in the Catholic church, you call them like father, right?
Oh,
like,
he's
father.
A Catholic priest. He left. He defrocked himself.
That's when you've got him in your clutches, when he'll totally like abandon his vow of poverty. And
this is a Fleabag situation.
Wait, isn't frock a sex thing?
No, defrocked is like where you take off your garments, your priestly garments.
What am I thinking of? Can you think of a sex thing that sounds like frock?
Deflowered?
Frottage?
No, what's the thing that like Mormons do when they don't want to have sex, but they...
Wedding?
The thing where somebody where they're like they like get in a sex
doc,
position.
Doc.
I don't think it's doc. I think doc is a gay thing. I think no. There's some you. Oh, I don't want this in my Google search history.
Interrupted
okay.
the joke. You'll come up with it. All right. So your stepdad was defrocked because he loved your mother. It's a Fleabag love story. Okay, continue.
Literally so hot. Like I can't even get a text back, and you know she has a man abandon his entire profession. Must be nice. But, and so I have a joke there about how he went from being father to daddy, you know, just like stupid shit.
That's
but it's a good joke.
That's
it's a good joke. Yeah.
I saw do you know Fleabag? You know that show?
I never watched it. No. I'm like seven shows behind.
Cam, you know that show Fleabag? Anyway, there's a
I'm glad you've watched Fleabag, Tim.
There's a hot priest on Fleabag. I saw him at the gay bar in New York. It's like everybody's gay. This whole storyline in the show was about how he's a hot straight priest that they're going to convert. But in reality, the real life is he was a gay.
Many of the hottest straight guys from TV and media are in fact homosexuals.
Okay, hold on though. Back to Suzanne. You know, me and Cameron keep you know taking you off. So okay, so you are a comedian. You are earnest milk and cookies comedian, and then now you've made the full switch. How far gone are you now? Like, are you just like a vile leftist, or
no.
Like, where are you on the
no
on the
and they hate
now?
Me and I hate them. I try to post something once a week that would alienate only the most annoying people to exist on the internet.
Okay,
to get rid of those people from my following.
I followed you.
Yeah, it hasn't worked on you yet. That's good.
To be fair, I don't know if I've watched any of the content, but you can't take that personally, because as soon as I see that something's a video, I scroll past it. But if you are listening right now, please comment on our videos that I post. That would be a great idea. And comment down below how much you appreciate Suzanne for making content to reach new people. Suzanne, when we were on the phone talking about this episode and we were just doing a little intro, you told me something that really resonated, which was you consider yourself an entertainer more than an informer because you think it's important for people who are making positive social content to focus on making stuff that people want to watch as well, that doesn't feel like homework. When did you figure that one out?
Honestly, like right around the election, I would say, because we're really good on the left about informing and reporting facts and statistics and headlines. And that's all like it's very boring. Right?
Facts. Who needs them?
Yeah. Who needs them? Right. Yeah. I mean, we're just kind of boring, and on the right, they're a lot more entertaining. So I've always been, you know, entertainment first. If I inform along with that, great, but that's not the goal. And actually a lot of people on the left have a problem with that sometimes. And they'll be like, well, why aren't you talking about this? Why aren't you talking about that? I'm like, because I don't talk about a lot of things. Like I'm not a news reporter. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I don't talk about, and people will ask me why I don't talk about it. And I'm like, you know what? I respect you too much to subject you to my opinion on this thing that is so poorly educated. But your comedy has resonated so much with people online that you ended up getting invited to be some sort of host for the annoying liberal TikTok conference at which you and I met. Those of you who didn't listen to that episode, me and Suzanne and Harry Sisson and the types of people you see online where you're like, oh, I agree. Yeah, the former FY podcast, Jessica Burbank, the people you see online where you're like, oh, I agree with everything they're saying. I don't know if they would be a fun hang, but I agree with their politics. We all got together for what to me it was a very fun hang.
So fun.
And you were the belle of the fucking ball. And
Tell me about that.
I wanted to ask you
did Harry Sisson DM you at any point during the
Harry and I are buddies. He's also like not like that in real life. I don't know why people think he's such like a sweet, chill guy.
I love the kid. That's my new little brother right there.
He's my buddy.
But while I was downstairs in the lobby with Harry, hanging out with my little brother and some other nice kids, some of the Midas Touch dorks, we saw this strange looking man who was being very affable and social, chatting people up, sort of networking a little bit, I think under the guise of being some sort of liberal. And then in the Signal chat with everybody at the conference, with hundreds of people in the Signal chat, warning, MAGA guy infiltrating the conference. I personally was just like, LOL, and I put my phone down and went to sleep.
Did he infiltrate the Signal chat as well? Is it like a Pete Hegseth situation?
Well, no. Oh my God. Well, it was a liberal thing. So since there was a Signal chat, everybody made the Pete Hegseth joke.
Oh, sorry. So many take that out. God, that's embarrassing. I made the same joke as Keith Edwards, didn't I?
I don't know the whole situation because I just was like amused and then went to bed. Can you lay it out for us?
Oh my God. I thought you'd never ask. I'm obsessed with talking about this man, David Blair. Can I use his full name? David Blair.
Yeah. So can you put his picture up? Because I saw his picture on your social media. We'll put it up here for the YouTube viewers. And I think it's important to like look at him, to visualize this person.
He's one of those guys, sort of like Andrew Schultz, the guy who Pete Buttigieg went on the podcast of, where the face has not earned the facial hair.
I called him an ugly-ass Lego villain, which I feel like is the perfect way to describe his entire aesthetic. He just looks like
he's on at Palantir. I don't know if he works for Palantir, but like it feels like his bio should be on Palantir's website.
So what the fuck happened?
Okay, to set the scene, it's like 4 p.m., right? It was the first full day of the conference, so it was Monday. Oh my God, so it was like a week ago. That's crazy. Over a week ago. And I went to the bar and there was a guy sitting there who had clearly been there a while, like seemed pretty drunk. And he was just like, hey, are you here for the influencer conference? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, if I buy you a drink, can I ask you a few questions? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll talk about myself. I love talking about myself. So basically he starts by being like, my firm is investigating brands that invest in liberal creators. Can you tell me more about that? And I was like, what are you talking? Cause I'm like, if that's what he's really asking, there's no way he would give himself away so easily and so quickly and so obviously. So I was like, do you actually mean XYZ? And then like, it kind of started twisting and turning. Oh, I work for a PAC that's affiliated with Newswire and we're trying to like bring education to the classrooms. I was like, what kind of education? How does that pertain to brands? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So at the end, he's like, yeah, let me get your number. And I was like, you can have my email. He's like, no, let me get your number. I was like, no, you can have my email. And then I took my drink and bounced. But the reason we found out who he was is because when I asked him his name, I was like, what did you say your name was? He said his name was David Blaine, like the 90s street magician.
Like the magician.
This is the sloppiest spy craft I've ever seen. Because first of all, we're like investigating these people. It's like, you should have said we're networking with these people.
Literally.
He changed one letter in his name. It's like putting up a fake mustache.
Literally, if he had said, I'm here for a payroll conference, he should have just like made it up, acted totally unassuming. Influencers love talking about themselves. They would have told him everything he needed to know. But he like instead gave the name of a 90s street magician. And I was like, your name is David Blaine? And he goes, yeah, he took it a few years before me. So I Googled after I took my drink and swiftly exited, David Blaine, like conservative pack, because it was giving conservative. And then immediately it pops up David Blair.
Oh, so you're the one who discovered this.
Yeah. He came the worst person.
Nice
Nancy
sleuthing.
Fucking Drew over here. Nancy Drew in the conservative infiltrator.
What is that reference, Cam? The boomers are going to be thrilled about that poll.
Yeah,
Nancy Drew. Was there a new, did they do like a Nancy Drew Netflix show or something?
I'm sure they tried. No, it's just, you know me. I pull my cultural references from anywhere except for Gen Z.
But not MAGA, Nancy Drew, because it was like so easy and obvious to find. If you just said his name was like Mike Thompson, no one would have.
That sounds pretty conservative too.
That's a great pick, man.
He's actually the representative for Napa Valley. Shout out Rep Thompson. No, like he could have used any other name and we wouldn't have found him, but he used his almost exact fucking real name, which is so funny to me.
That's what I'm wondering.
And what did we learn about this guy?
He's a weirdo, owns a consulting firm that like they essentially try to eradicate free speech on college campuses is what I gathered. So then a bunch of people, because now it's like 1 a.m., like lots of time kind of goes by. Then a bunch of people were like drunk messaging him on LinkedIn. Apparently he took his photo off LinkedIn. So he like knows that we like found him. And I have a conservative like follower who reached out to me and was like, oh, this guy's such a mess. I've known him for a long time. He's like always just a mess. So it was so funny. So like my whole thing for the summer is going David Blair. I want to have a plan, get too drunk, lose the plot and like make unlikely friendships. That David Blair summer is the goal for me.
That is great.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yeah. Are you going to try to infiltrate Turning Point USA events?
I would rather die. I think I'd rather be dead.
You live part-time in Florida, I guess, because so your life is kind of a Turning Point USA conference a little bit. Is that right? You live in Tampa?
Yeah, I'm based in D.C., but I go to Tampa quite often. My dad's down there. So, yeah, lots of time.
Tampa is awful. I like
what?
It's hard to really, I think, you know, even kind of find something nice to say about Tampa.
I associate Tampa with some of my warmest memories because that was really? Where our district theater competition in high school, the state level competition was in downtown Tampa. And that was when that was horny drama kid, like prom meets Super Bowl. All of us were in hotels, all the theater kids from every participating high school all over the state of Florida, all in the same exact hotels, competing with each other, getting body dysmorphia from each other, having sex with each other. And it was Candyland States was the biggest event of the year. I did great at it, obviously, and in multiple departments. And it was just such a hoot. But my brother lives outside of Tampa in a small town out there. And, you know, his domestic life seems very idyllic, but I don't know if I could actually live in Tampa.
Tampa, I got drunk at the White House Correspondents' Dinner events and was going around telling everyone that Tampa's the greatest American city. And honestly, I stand by that.
What is the case? Give us a quick 30-second case for Tampa.
Tampa is, firstly, it has all the major sports except basketball, which, like, who cares about
that?
That's
a big myth.
It's on the water. It's stunning. It's walkable-ish. The lifestyle is very healthy and active. People are outside. Amazing weather year-round. Incredible food.
Incredible. Do you have a Michelin star restaurant in Tampa? When I picture a Tampa restaurant, I'm thinking like a Hooters off brand, though.
Well,
like you don't even have Hooters. You have kind of like something that's trying to imitate Hooters.
Let me fact check you there. Clearwater, Florida is the birthplace of Hooters.
Well, there you go. See?
You?
Well, so I had this. My directionally, I was correct, if not in the details.
It
but
is
you
like
can, where... can you get like a quinoa salad with, you know, some fresh fruit in Tampa or no?
People like, as Cameron was describing with like body dysmorphia being rampant at theater competitions, that's just like kind of the default setting in Tampa. Right. It was actually named at one point the most vain city. They did literally the number of gyms and like Botox, like med spas, all the things compared to the population. And Tampa's Tampa was supposed to be.
A lot of MAGAs have moved in, though. A lot of MAGAs.
All of the insecure, image obsessed Hooters fans. Listen to Suzanne, everybody. Tampa's the place for you to go. Wait, so
and a lot of them have moved there, though. It is true, right? There have been a lot of the MAGA influencers, like your competitors in the TikTok influencer space, have like gathered in Sarasota. It's a little south of Tampa, but in that corridor there.
Wait, so just to go backwards in order to go forwards, because our next topic will tie into this. So you're from Georgia,
yes,
in a city that is not Atlanta.
Kennesaw, Georgia. It's the law in Kennesaw because it's the law to own a gun in my hometown.
It's the law that you have to own a gun?
It's literally the law. I mean, it's not enforced, but it is a city ordinance that you have to own a gun. Yeah. And no one believes me. Google it.
That is an odd one.
Yeah.
And then you go from there to Tampa and then to DC. So I feel like you're surrounded by a lot of conservative people. It's called the Tim Miller effect. And what that means is that you probably have a little bit of insight on how a lot of conservatives who have sort of conservative values are reacting to what MAGA's doing, you know, how they might feel about what they voted for versus what they're getting. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of articles right now about regretful MAGA voters who are saying, oh, I was voting for violent immigrants to get thrown in prison, not for El Salvador concentration camps.
Right.
And, oh, I was voting for small government, not veterans benefits and cancer research getting slashed. What's the temperature from the conservatives in your life about how they feel in general about all this?
They're not happy.
Really?
Even my most conservative friends, they hate the Medicaid cuts are very unpopular. The budget proposal, super unpopular. I mean, especially considering all the old white people down in Florida who benefit from those things. It's just like not a smart move. They don't like the private jets. They don't like, you know, the Hegseth situation. Like the temperature's not good. It doesn't look good for them.
I mean, even Ben Shapiro came out and called out old Donald Trump on the jet thing. We could play a condensed version of the clip. Sebastian, if you could throw it up right now.
That's not America first. Like, please define America first in a way that says you should take sacks of cash from the Qatari royals who are behind Al Jazeera. It just isn't America first in any conceivable way. So back to the original question. Is this good for President Trump? Is it good for his agenda? Is it good for draining the swamp and getting things done? The answer is no, it isn't.
Yeah. So a lot of conservatives have something to say about this. How closely do you think the conservatives, you know, follow what's going on? Like if you're talking to one of your friends who might have voted for Trump or comes from a family that does, do you think they know about like Kash Patel, director of the FBI, showing up to a budget hearing without a budget? And do you think they know about what's up with the tariffs, or they just hear about it? Like, have they unplugged themselves from the news?
Well, I think they're all still getting their news from Fox, which obviously can kind of spin it any way that it wants. And I also think, and I know this is a tactic of the Republicans, that they're overwhelmed by the amount of things that they're hearing. And there's so many negative things that they're hearing that I think they're hesitant to believe some of it. But I mean, I've heard firsthand from, I have a conservative friend who owns like a flower business. And she was saying that her prices for her customers, she's having to go back to people who contracted for their weddings being like, hey, sorry, this is going to go up like 40%. So, I mean, they're absolutely feeling it. They're pissed. I don't know that they're like, yay, gung-ho Democrat, which is completely fine. I get that. We're annoying. Like, I understand why you wouldn't want to be over here, but they're not happy with how things are. And if I were a Republican representative, I would be worried and paying attention.
So I kind of bringing your analysis of, you know, the regretful MAGAs with your experience in Georgia. I want to ask you in particular about what I think was maybe your most viral TikTok, which was about the makeup that MAGA is doing. And I think it's interesting that you're focused on that because I've been focusing on the new face phenomenon. And, you know, with makeup, you can only do so much with makeup. You know, and for at least a couple of the cabinet secretaries decided to just go with, we're going to do a whole new face, whole new me, whole new person. And I'm going to reconstruct myself to look more appealing to the Cougars at Mar-a-Lago. But I'm wondering what your analysis of that. It seems like you probably have more expertise on this than me.
I mean, I'm supportive of some of them getting a new face because I've seen their before pictures. I'm like, I get it. Just maybe your after face should be one that looks good and not insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think what it is you have these women like, you know, Kristi Noem is prime example. Women who were like kind of dorky growing up, you know, as politicians should be, hot take.
Yeah.
And they get a little power, they get a little money, whether that's from, you know, above board means or not is one thing, or from your constituents. They get a little money and then they just like all of a sudden want to like relive that hot girl moment. It's like the moms who would be at cheerleading competitions trying to live vicariously through their daughters, like wearing like all tricked out in like the merch of the team and like a bow in their hair, like as if they were a cheerleader. That's essentially what these women are doing. They're trying to relive the glory days that they never really had. They're trying to create their glory days now, and they look really busted while they do it.
If you're like, I'm trying to identify MAGA makeup of the wild, like I live in New Orleans, so we don't have a ton of MAGA like right in town. But like if I go out to the burbs to like, you know, get a car tune up or go to a chain restaurant or something. If I just want to look and just try to identify MAGAs in the wild via their makeup, what are some things I should be looking for?
Yeah. So firstly, a lot of it, like matte and flat, it's very like, see how my skin, you can kind of see like a sheen. They don't moisturize. They don't do skincare. That's a whole other story, but like very thick, flat, matte, double lined eyeliner, top and bottom, like very thick black eyeliner. You can pry their eyeliner out of their cold, dead hands. Always like insane eyebrows that never match each other and also like don't really go with the shape of their face. So they're
mismatching often, eyebrows.
Yeah. Like they don't match each other. And they're often in the shape of like, they call them like a sperm brow, like really thick right here and then really thin here. Or like a comma.
I'm sorry, did you say sperm brow or squirm?
Sperm. Like they look like sperm. Can you pull up a picture? No.
sperm, Tim. It's that thing that happens when people are frocking.
Yeah, a little spermy eyebrow. Wow, yeah. That's a new one for me.
Oh, you haven't heard of sperm?
Sperm brow. No, I'm quite familiar with sperm, but I haven't heard of a sperm brow before.
Yeah, so it's like really thick and then really thin right here. And that's like,
and do they want them to be different, or did the people that are their makeup artists just aren't very good at their job?
Well, they're not good at their jobs. And I made a video about Caroline Levitt's makeup artist and she ended up blocking me. But like,
have beef with Caroline Levitt's makeup artist.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's crazy. She was in like some crazy cult. I found all these pictures. Yeah, she blocked me.
What kind of cult? I want a little more. You're teasing me with this.
Okay. I have to look up what it's called. And I made a video about it. I could find it. But it's, they believe God is a woman who's like alive in China.
T, I agree.
Alive in China?
Yeah.
You had me Nancy before Pelosi. China. You had me before China, not Nancy Pelosi, RBG. Yeah, I don't know if God's a woman in China.
Wait, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but frotting is what I was thinking of, F-R-O-T.
Yeah, that's what I said, frottage. Frottage. Frotting is short for frottage. That's what I said.
It says, frot or frotting is a sexual practice that usually involves direct penis-to-penis contact. The term was popularized by gay male activists who disparaged the practice of anal sex.
But has since
evolved ellipses.
You know Cam dates women because he's calling it anal sex.
Anal sex.
Frotting, yes, frottage. It's kind of like humping. It's kind of like a humping, and I think with clothes on. I'm not speaking from experience here, but my understanding is that with clothes on, and then you kind of get the sperm eyebrow at the end.
Yeah, I can't say I've done that since like sixth grade, probably.
Yeah.
You haven't done direct penis to penis contact.
I haven't done like over the clothes humping since middle
over the
school.
Clothes humping.
Hold up. You were pulling like that in sixth grade.
I was pulling. I was like the first girl to make out in sixth grade.
Really? Number one.
No, I was. We called it code 9. We like spoke. This is so human. I don't know why I'm sharing all this with you. Probably because I had a few.
It sounds like it's called Title 9.
I mean, in a way. Yeah, we called it code 9 so that like our parents wouldn't know what we were talking about.
Putting the word code in your code is like having a secret file that says secret on it.
It's like, very David Blair.
It's very. So this is a great segue into a topic that was very important emotionally and spiritually to Mr. Tim Miller, which was, you have made the claim that I make all the time, by the way, correctly, that you were cool in high school. And Tim has some questions about that.
Well, again, like I said, I was scrolling your TikTok. Your most recent talks were about you talking about how you were cool in high school and you haven't flopped, and that there's a misnomer out there that all the cool kids in high school flopped. And that makes those of us who weren't cool in high school and who are late bloomers feel better about ourselves. So just maybe let us have that. But then several people pushed back on you, it seemed like. And I have a pushback that's a little different from those people, though. And my pushback is, I don't believe you, but you were cool in high school.
What?
I don't believe you.
Wait.
I don't think any political influencers were cool in high school. I don't believe so.
That is so funny. I mean, do you want me to list my credentials? I can.
I would like to. Yeah, yeah.
Made out. First girl to make out.
That's cool.
Threw a lot of parties. Had sex, real sex, not frauding. My friend group, we called ourselves the ABCs, which stood for a bitch click. And when we would walk into parties, we would make someone play ABC by Jackson 5.
Mm. Look at us, the Gen Z show where we talk about the Jackson 5 and Nancy Drew.
You had me until the Jackson 5. I was like, it does sound like she was cool, actually. And then, I don't know, you couldn't have come up with a better song. What, how old are you? What year were you in high school?
I graduated 2010.
Yeah, so you couldn't have had, like, I don't know, Kesha or something? Like, who was cool in 2010?
But ABC, like, was our name. So it was like, the announcement that we were there.
Tim, you've never pushed back on me explaining how awesome I was in high school. Do you?
It's obvious, Cameron. I'm sorry. I wish I could push back, but I've got a lot of things to pick on you about.
Do uncool kids in high school manage to get their classmates to get, maybe some uncool kids from my high school did that. Never mind.
Mm.
But you know, I started it. I was able to get a large group of young people together in my household.
All I'm saying is, because I aspired to be cool in high school and want to surround myself with people that were cool in high school, there's a reason that I did not recruit for my co-host, soon to be former second vice chair of the DNC. And I think it's important that we make clear that we are discussing the second vice chair of the DNC, not the one that received the most votes for vice chair.
Well, the one who received the most votes has gone on to make a selfie video talking about how he received the most votes, which
we need to move on. People aren't even knowing what we're talking about. Shout out to you, Malcolm Kenyatta. What else did we have for you? Okay, no, this was the actual reason we brought up cool kids stuff, not because Cameron wanted to reiterate that he was the cool March for Our Lives kid. It's like, great, Cameron, you were the cool school shooting survivor. Awesome, awesome, man, we get it. Okay, that's been established. What I wanted to ask you about was, the Democrats' content creation is a little rough, and I don't really know what to do. Like, if you had folks call you, it's like the thing is that you can't really teach cool, and if all of the Democratic candidates were nerds in high school, there's really no hope to them putting out like really like vibey TikToks. So maybe they should lean into their nerdiness. Maybe they should do other stuff. I don't know. What advice would you have if, say Josh Shapiro or Tim Walz, two people that are very uncool, called you and were like, what should we do?
Oh, I think Tim Walz is super cool.
Okay, you would. But let's put those two aside then. Just generic Democratic person.
I'm obsessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Firstly, I agree. Like, I don't think people should try to be cool if they're not. I do think there are like very cool Democrats. I think Cory Booker is very cool. He's probably the best interview I've ever done. Such an easy, cool guy to talk to.
Cory Booker is cool. I agreed with you on the Tim Walz thing, but Cory Booker,
cool about Cory Booker? He's tall. He's athletic. He does cool shit.
There's two cool things about Cory Booker. He publicly dated a Jedi. and he spoke for 1,000 hours in
three. He had blocked me on Twitter for 13 years, which is a sign of good judgment.
Has he unblocked you since?
He unblocked me. I got him to unblock me live on the adult podcast a couple
weeks
ago.
What?
Yeah. That's
right. How, like, are there any other notable members of the United States government who still have blocked you blocked?
Me? I mean, several Republicans, but no, he was the only prominent Democrat who still had me blocked from my Republican days. Okay, well, so anyway, Cory Booker's cool-ish. So what advice do you give them?
Okay, so let me go back. Yeah, so if you're cool, absolutely. Like, do front-facing content, lean into it, work more with creators. If you're not, like, lean into that as well. Like, I don't think we need – I think we can say, yeah, we're kind of annoying and dorky and insufferable over here. I get it. But, like, they're evil as shit. So – come hang out with like the dorky people. And also, I don't think your political party should be your friend group and where you find your sense of community and belonging the way that they're doing with the red hats. Like, I don't think your political party needs to be that thing. So actually, maybe look at your political party as the way that you vote and not the way that like you worship a superhero, because I find that really strange. That didn't really answer your question.
I agree with the point though. I don't know. Do you have, I mean, you've sort of leveled up to a space where I'm sure that people, that, you know, the Chinese are feeding you to like non-resist libs. So like, what kind of feedback are you getting like in your comments from like regular people? I'm sure like guys who think that you're hot that aren't necessarily resist libs.
Not enough. Follow you. Boys don't message me as much as I wish they would. It's kind of annoying.
Who is messaging you then?
So I do get comments from a lot of like otherwise apolitical people and conservatives. A lot of conservatives follow me. I think I know how to talk to conservatives. I think conservatives, hot take in general, have a better sense of humor in certain ways. They'll let more shit slide. My conservative audiences are always way more fun than my uptight ass DC audiences. They're such a bore sometimes.
Well, I think that there's a distinction to be made between conservatives and conservatives in office, because conservatives in office will see somebody not wear a suit to a meeting because they're in the middle of a war, and then it's like they heard the most offensive thing they've ever heard. But I agree. I think your average conservative is a little bit looser and more accepting to that,
which is such a switch from my era, you know. Like, it just really is. It's like a total switch. I don't know what happened. I think it was a post-Obama, maybe the Democrats felt like they'd won everything and tried to push too far. I really can't put my finger on it, because when I was growing up, it was the conservatives that were the scolds. I hate to give them this talking point, because like this could be a talking point on fucking Charlie Kirk's podcast, but it just is what it is. Like, that the scolding in like the 90s and the 2000s was like, you know, don't be gay. Like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of finger wagging from the religious right. And that has kind of flipped. And I don't really know why.
In a sense, yeah. So a lot of my comments are like, I'm conservative, but this is funny. Like, that's mm-hmm. a lot of the comments I get from conservatives. Or I think I share a lot of firsthand experiences. Like, I talk about my abortion really openly. I talk about the fact that I used to be anti-choice and then I got pregnant and then I wasn't anti-choice anymore. Like, I try to lay that all out there, because I was never really hearing those kinds of stories, you know, when I was in Ruby Red, you know, Kennesaw, Georgia, which is now purple, which is insane.
Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home 1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Question for you, Suzanne.
Yeah.
What is your direct message, I guess, as quickly and as to the point as you can make it? What is your message to the young men who are convinced that they're anti-abortion, because that's what their favorite conservative podcaster is saying, but are probably going to learn when they get somebody pregnant that they might have made the wrong call? What would you say to them?
That pregnancy result will change your entire life. You will never know a feeling more horrifying than a result on a pregnancy test that you don't want. Trust me, you want the option available to you. And I never thought that I did. And I went to pro-life events and all the shit. All of that changes the moment you see that result. And you're like, oh, never mind. Like immediately, like it immediately dissipated. You want the option. You don't want kids with that random girl you met at a bachelor party in Denver. Like I promise you that you don't.
Did this happen in Denver? Was it just because my hat says Denver? Why did you pull Denver? I'm just wondering if this happened in like Littleton at a, you know, one of my old watering holes.
Literally the reason I moved to DC was I met a boy in New Orleans on a bachelorette party.
Oh, so, really?
Shout out to
you. Where were you? Like Pat O's, or, you know, were you just on Bourbon Street doing the deal? Or were you like on French?
Nowhere room? Good. Nowhere good, I should the have same? Been.
I love Denver, and I know that I love Denver because I spent most of my life in Florida, and therefore being somewhere that elevated with that little oxygen normally is a bit of a turnoff for me. And I've only ever been to Denver to multiple times visit Columbine and Aurora. And the fact that I associate the city exclusively with talking to school shooting, mass shooting survivors, and I still think it's lit, I mean, that speaks volumes. But yeah, that's a great message. And I feel like that's sort of the thing that a lot of young men like think that they're ready to push back on until, again, I have a friend who's conservative who is pro-abortion, and his conservative take on being pro-abortion is probably the most vile pro-abortion take I've ever heard, which is, man, you know, some kids just shouldn't be born. And I'm like, okay you, look, if this makes you pro, if this makes you pro-choice.
No, I have a joke about that. I say I've had an abortion, and I pause and I go, it's okay, it was a girl.
And that's your liberal comedy.
Now I'm the scolding lib. You've turned me into the scolding lib, Suzanne. Bad joke.
So mad at that joke. And I'm like, what? Just pretend she would have like grown up and wanted bodily autonomy, or like she would have taken out student loans, because like she probably would.
Dyed her hair blue.
I'm clutching
my pearls really hard right now. At that joke.
Oh, right, mine here. Pearl match. Mine are ready. They're always ready to be clutched. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get them there.
We have Boomer Mailbag, and I have an annoying Sam Altman story I want to talk to you about. But are there any other like political hot takes you have for us? Is there anything like, you know, if you're looking at Trump world, you got anything you want to just get on your soapbox for a second about something?
I think I think Democrats need to stop being so annoying. And I think if they stop being so annoying, more people will come over. But I don't think they'll do that until we can shut up a little bit and stop being hall monitors. Because
okay, let's test who's annoying for you. Like, is Pete annoying? Do you find Pete annoying?
Funny you say that. No, but I can see why people wouldn't like him on the right. He kind of, you know, Harvard Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
Of all the politicians I've interacted with, he was the least warm.
Yeah.
He's too locked in, man. He's cooking too hard to be warm.
He's super locked in. But, so like, I don't fault it, but he didn't have that congenial, going back to my favorite.
What about Elizabeth Warren? Do you find her annoying? I'm just trying to define annoying in human form for you.
I would think she was annoying if I was on the right, and I did think she was annoying. I don't care for Nancy Pelosi that much. I don't like the Clintons. I understand why people don't like them. Like,
you're just not into women, basically.
Yeah, I hate women. You heard me first. I did say that. I did make that awful joke that you scolded me for. That was so inappropriate of me. What's a dude that I don't like? Why can't I think of a single man?
Not even a matter of who you do and don't like. It's just a matter of who is and is not annoying. Like, there are plenty of politicians who I like, who I see their content, and I hate watch it, even though I support this politician. If I were in their district, I would vote for them.
Oh, at least you watch it. That's so nice that you watch their content. Maybe watch
Jamal Bowman. No. That's a man that's annoying. Jamal Bowman. There we go. He's very annoying.
I want a yes and something that Suzanne said really quick. And it was something she said a bit ago, but I haven't, you know, just before Boomer Mailbag, I want a yes and it by bringing back one of my favorite segments from the FY pod, something I love to do here. This is our segment, Gen Z Dating Advice. I would like to offer some advice to young men who are trying to figure out how to pick up chicks. And then Suzanne, I want you to tell me if you think I've got the right idea.
Okay, I love this. Yeah, let's do it.
Gen Z Dating Advice for young men. Be true to yourself. Just be you. Suzanne was talking about how the nerdy politicians who are trying to look cool while they're making content should maybe lean into being nerds a little bit, and they should maybe accept that that's who they are, and they'll come off a little better. And that's what you young men should think about talking to women. Some of the dudes I know who pull the absolute hottest women, some of the dudes I know who make girls go crazy, are the biggest dweebs. Mm-hmm. So how do they make it? They know who they are, and they don't try to be somebody else. The least cool you can look is when you are trying to look cooler than you are.
Yeah.
Be who you are, wear it like armor, and it could never be used to hurt you. That's a Game of Thrones quote, and still, you know, I've done well for myself. And just accept it, and don't try to be that mean jerk guy that you think is the one who gets to pull the chicks at the end of the day. You know, so many not cool guys think that being that baller Chad is what's going to get them the girl at the end of the day. And it's no, the reason the baller Chad is able to pull is because he knows who he is and he's being who he is. So be true to yourself. It's very charming and it disarms people and people really like it. Suzanne, do you think I've got the right idea?
I totally agree. And I would also say, like, don't be afraid of looking uncool too. Like, I think people who just fully lean in to who they are is so attractive. And the whole narrative that nice guys finish last is not true. All of my guy friends who I would consider kind of dorky, you know, whatever, have the hottest, you know, partners. They're doing well financially. They're doing well in their jobs. Like, nice guys finish eventually. It might not be first. It might be like the hot.
Listen, I'm a nice guy and I've been told that I finished too quickly.
Cameron.
We've talked about sperm so much on this. I love that. I completely agree. And also, like, it's so easy to pull and impress women. Say hello, initiate a conversation, ask them questions. Like, you don't have to even have this very clever, super cool banter. Like, literally just be nice. Women like that and they respond to it. And if they don't respond to it, then they're not your person. Fuck them. If they don't like people being mean to them or being nice to them, then they're not for you and move on. It's fine.
Hell yeah. We're going to tease the AI Sam Altman is annoying conversation for next week because I think next week's guest is going to be more. Well, I guess I'll ask you, are you a ChatGPT power user, Suzanne?
I've been asking ChatGPT some really embarrassing questions this week. Yes.
Okay. Let's hear about that, actually. We will stick on this for a sec.
I know a guy who says that he uses ChatGPT for therapy. And I said, I don't think you should do that.
It's kind of what I've been doing. Like, you know, I've been asking a lot of questions about attachment styles and how different attachment styles can work better together. Why is this man ghosting me, et cetera? Very, very.
This is, well, we're not going to wait till next week because this was the thing that made me feel old and astonished me. That fucking cyborg, Sam Altman. So it's just like, I'm quite concerned that the future of society is going to be, you know, in this man's hands as the CEO of OpenAI that does ChatGPT. He said that people in my age demo, we use ChatGPT as a Google replacement.
Yeah.
And it's true. I do that. And that folks in your demo use it as like a life coach. And
yeah.
That's true. This is true for you, apparently. I find that insane.
Yeah, I can't even believe I'm admitting it out loud. I think I still have a few margaritas in my system, honestly. But yeah, no, I mean, it's like, instead of annoyingly persistently texting your friend, you can just text ChatGPT. And then no one knows how pathetic you are unless you announce it on a podcast.
I would just recommend to the youth listening, human contact, like find a trusted friend. You know, bounce stuff off of. That's something that we did back in my day. You know, I had a gal pal, and if I was having a bad day, I'd give her a call and I'd vent. That's a good idea. That's just something to consider, like a human, like asking a human for some emotional support.
Okay, I'll call you instead next time.
You can. I love talking about feelings. So if anybody has feelings they want to share with me, I'm happy to do it. Cameron, what were you going to say?
Comment your feelings down below.
yeah, or life advice. I'll do life advice if you want.
I don't use ChatGPT because when I did use ChatGPT, it didn't take me long to realize that it's fucking wrong about shit all the time. Yeah. When I was reading a book called The Devil's Chessboard about Alan Dulles and the rise of the CIA as America's kind of secret government. And I was it was a very dense book that covered a lot of modern American history. So I was using ChatGPT as a guide to remind me about certain things when they would come up in the book. And then I Googled to verify, and I looked at articles from reputable sources, and ChatGPT was just fucking gaslighting me. And I was using ChatGPT to help me track the fantasy series I was reading, which was also very dense. Like, what was the first book that this character was introduced in? And the whole thing is like ChatGPT aggregates information that's already online. And these books have been around for decades and have thousands of fans blogging about them and posting. So it's not some abstract thing that I'm asking ChatGPT to do. I'm asking it to pull information from the internet. And then I go to verify that information. And within the first three things I see on Google, they're wrong. So I don't use, and I certainly don't use it for fucking life advice. I have a 40-year-old political strategist who I text for life advice. And honestly, I get the rest of it live on the show from Tim.
I got to see that 40-year-old political strategist last week, and he was complaining to me about all the times you're asking him for life advice. And I was just like, you're a saint. Like, thank God you do that. And that is so nice that we have that human, you know, you want to have a human that's annoyed by you in your life. Like, that's really important. That's an important part of the experience.
I'm sure ChatGPT is wrong often, but I feel like it's correct more frequently than my mentally ill alcoholic friends. So I'm still going to keep asking.
Where were you last night? What were you doing that you were so that you're so hungover?
I'm not telling you who I was with, but I was.
Was it a MAGA?
There
was it a date?
No. It was not a date.
Was it a date with a MAGA?
It was not a date with a MAGA. It was not a date. I said, I want to get into trouble. Literally, the text was, I want to get into some trouble. And I was like, who would be up for some trouble? Well, who would be up for trouble at midnight on a Tuesday? Republicans. Liberals are like doing their full moon circles and shit. They're not going to go out at midnight on a Tuesday.
Well, so, I'm satisfied with this ChatGPT conversation, although I want to bring it back up next week because the only notes I took for this episode are on ChatGPT being used in schools. So,
okay, great. Tara, our guest next week will be great on that topic. So we'll do more AI next week. All right, boomer mailbag. Tony's a boomer. She writes this, what's with the Democrats' new fondness for F-bombs? Beto, Pete, Andrew Schultz. Is not a, oh, no, Pete on Andrew Schultz. Tim cusses a lot. I think the majority of Americans have an aversion to swearing.
Oh, sorry.
Tim cusses too much. Cam, how does Gen Z respond to swearing on the whole? Is this appealing to them?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of people who comment in the Bulwark comment section like, you know, Cameron, people would take you more seriously if you used less F-bombs. And I'm like, girl, I'm coming on the show and telling stories about me on allegedly LSD when I was 18 and had just run a multimillion dollar nonprofit. Like, do you think I come on FY Pod to be taken seriously by people? Second of all, I think that people of my generation, Suzanne, former conservative, you can sort of hear it when she says cussing. I feel like cussing is a really conservative way to put it. I feel like we really don't care. And I think that Democrats cursing is just fine because that's how people talk. Sometimes it comes off a little performative. It comes off a little bit like they're trying to sound like how people talk. But in general, it's like, Tony, got a lot of respect for you. I appreciate your respect for decorum. I don't think this is the hill to die on.
Suzanne?
Yeah, I think don't sound like if you ask ChatGPT how people talk and how people cuss, but I think if it's authentic and it's meeting the moment and mirroring their genuine frustration or emotions on a topic, it's not that big of a deal. I also understand why people don't like cussing. If I say the F word in front of my mom, I get a slap on the hand. Like, I get it, but still. I think... Oh, yeah. She, I have to apologize. I can't even say, oh, my God. I have to say, oh, my gosh. If you say, oh, my God, in front of my mom, she'll go, gosh.
That is so cute. So you apologize to your mother because I cuss way less around with my mother.
Yeah. Well. So I get why they don't like cuss. I get why they don't like the cussing. But I think that if that's how people actually really talk, I
Did
think
Cameron
you can
just
put
roll
the nice,
his eyes at me.
Put the nice.
No. I was diverting my eyes somewhere else because I'm just thinking about that. I'm like, I am so fucking vile with my mother. I have the best relationship with my mom. I couldn't have a better mom. And we're like BFFs. I talk to her pretty much every single day. Yeah. And I had texted my mom a picture of that my friend made of me as a woman.
Oh, yeah, you looked hot.
I know. And I said, smash or pass. And my mom goes, I would have to pass as that is my son.
Such a valid response.
And I was like, why are you misgendering female Cameron?
Your mom's right. Canceled immediately.
Yeah, well, get your pronouns right. Okay, Suzanne, we'll close with an earnest question. We've covered this question before, but I want to re-up it because Last week on the Grown Up Pod, I spoke to Leah and Ezra, who run Indivisible, which is organizing all the protests, the hands-off protests, et cetera. Yeah. They have another round of protests coming up. No Kings protest, June 14th. Cameron said he hadn't heard of the last round, so I just wanted to make sure he'd heard of that right now. He might not be listening to me, but June 14th, Cameron, No Kings. Suzanne, and I want to get to Suzanne's question, because I asked Suzanne's question to the organizers of the protests, and they were great and cute, and it's so cute that it's this married couple that's organizing all of this, and I find it very cute. And but then they had a lot of very engaging and interesting answers. When I asked them this same question as Suzanne, their answer was unsatisfying. So I'm wondering if you guys have an answer, which is this: why don't Gen Z people show up to the protests? Where I live, it's mostly boomers with some Gen X. And that is just true. If you look at these protests, it's a pretty blue-haired crowd out there, putting aside the Gaza protests. Why?
I mean, I would say like Gen Z has a hella social anxiety. Like genuinely I feel like that's why, like in general, I think Gen Z gets together less frequently in person than like other generations. And I also think there's a lot of trauma rightfully with, younger people and large crowds and things like that. I don't know if that's a satisfying answer.
Trauma, but, you think? What about my theory that y'all have like, Trump's just been around. Trump's life, he's kind of normally bad. You don't like him, but it's not like a thing that's worth protesting about. It's kind of like protesting potholes or some other annoying thing that you've just gotten used to.
Well, you see, like we grew up with these marches like Black Lives Matter and Women's March and March for Our Lives. Thanks very much. Racism is more pervasive than ever. Women's rights are more under attack than they've been in a very long time. And really pretty much nothing has happened about the guns except for some great local laws being passed. So I think that we've been exhausted from protest because we've just seen protest after protest not lead to the meaningful change that we want. And I also think that older people, including many great people in our audience who showed up to protest, I think older people are so much more familiar with an America that is less vile. Whereas, you know, we came of age during the Trump years. So this vile shit just feels so much more like the norm to us. And the last thing I'll say is like certain stuff you mentioned, the Gaza protests. It's like the Gaza protests went the way they did because we had a president who for the most part respected the right to protest and the right to free speech. And even then the NYPD was fucking roughing up Columbia kids because like someone broke a window in the fucking library where I was doing drugs when I was 18. Or allegedly doing drugs when I was 18, excuse the mix up. But I think there's just this mixture of we're exhausted. A lot of people in Gen Z don't have the time or resources to do stuff like that. And also like, you know, if I were a student at a university right now, I would be scared of getting fucking disappeared by ICE.
Yeah. And if I can add, I think there's also maybe a misconception of how protests usually go. Like my vision of a town hall, for example, I went to my first town hall over the weekend with Chris Murphy and Maxwell Frost down in Sarasota. And I kind of thought it would just be a lot of angry shouting and that's not something I would normally want to be a part of. Like that's not the vibe I want to surround myself with. And it wasn't like that at all. It was a lot of people being angry about the same things, but in turn there was a lot of community and camaraderie and support. So I think maybe if people understood not every protest is people just being mad, sometimes you can also have lots of positive feelings when you're uniting with people who believe in the same things that you do. Like it's actually, I left feeling very empowered, very encouraged, like very fired up.
And with that, all I can say is at these protests, stop fucking dancing. Suzanne, you have been incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So incredible. Good to meet you.
Thanks everybody for listening and tune back in Monday where we're going to be getting into all the great stuff.
Have Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.